You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hold on to your hats, folks. This one's going to get a little bumpy. You know, I'm minding my own business, and along comes an email. I didn't ask for it. It just comes. And it's from a government agency. I'm not going to say which agency. I'm not going to say which government. I'm not even going to say the author's name, because I don't think that that's important. What's important is the idea. It's the argument that they put forth that deserves discussion. And so I thought that that was a good bit of advice that I got, to don't address the individual or the agency, because that's going to bring attention to them, but rather, and quite frankly, this is guidance that holds true globally, right? So it's not just for that particular country or agency. You know, I don't want to narrowly define it too much. I want it to be a broader discussion about this topic. And, you know, I don't go out there looking for this stuff, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who claim to know about managed services in cloud, and they put themselves out there and they make statements. And I'm sorry, but when you put it out there, then it demands peer review. It demands some sort of external review and discussion. And that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not hiding the fact, right? Because I think some of you may already know. Some of you probably get the same email that I got, and know this article that I'm talking about. It just happened this week. But I'm going to dissect the argument. I'm going to unpack what it means, what I think it means. And because I have not talked to this author or this agency directly, well, I've indirectly talked to them. We're just going to address the topic. And the topic, and I have to be very careful here, because I'm not going to provide a link to this article. I know I typically do, but I'm not going to this time. So I beg your indulgence, and I ask you to trust me a little bit, because I'm going to attempt to faithfully repeat and convey their argument to you, and then address that argument, if that makes sense. And I do have the, because I thought it might get a little dicey, I've got the handy censorship button ready to go, should things get a little bumpy, as sometimes they do. Because I tell you, when I first read this, I about lost it, because just the insinuation of this article was, in my opinion, insulting to the MSP profession. And maybe the author didn't mean it this way, you know, but you know, that's kind of how I took it. Now, a little backdrop, okay? What am I talking about? You are all aware, we are all aware of the general movement trend in the last 3+ years globally to regulate directly and indirectly data. And that typically also means directly or indirectly regulating MSPs. We all know about the direct regulation, naming, you know, MSPs by name, you know, such as the Louisiana MSP registration law from 2020. But there are many others that don't name MSPs specifically, but they nevertheless implicate MSPs, because the MSPs are, you know, sometimes to the knowledge and oftentimes, you know, ignorant of the people who pass these laws. They just don't know, or they're not aware of the MSP profession. They don't understand that it exists. They don't understand what they're called, what they call themselves, and they don't understand really the role that they play. I believe the author of this article has some measure of understanding of MSPs. I would probably guess that it's somewhat recent knowledge. I wouldn't say that this is someone who understands MSPs historically. They don't understand what MSPs historically have done, and I don't think that they really understand fully the professional grade MSP as we define them here at the MSP Alliance. I think that's one of the problems, is that you have people who define MSPs in a very, not even an academic way. They define them in a very immature way. When I say immature, the people aren't immature, but their concept and their knowledge and awareness of what the MSP is very early stage. It's not very well developed. That's what I mean by immature. Nevertheless, back to the article. The article is a guidance for the general public who are using cloud services. And specifically, it's about if you're using cloud services, you might just be also having an MSP helping you to use those cloud services. And here's our recommendation on how to be safe using an MSP and using an MSP to manage your cloud. Well, therein is the first problem, is that general use of the term cloud. What do they mean by cloud? Well, I understand what when I think of cloud, I understand what it means. I think one of the best arguments, I don't attribute it to her, but Julie from Scott & Scott used to say, may still say, you know, cloud is what? It's someone else's computer, someone else's server. That's all it is. I think that's a really good, accurate description of cloud, because if that's true, then that's exactly what MSPs have been managing for decades, even before the term cloud was used outside of or beyond an engineering architectural usage. Using a managed service provider to manage and secure the data on a cloud service is very common. The author is correct here. The author then takes a pragmatic, practical, realistic idea, which is organizations, end users who have cloud, whatever that means. That could mean the company has a cloud, a private cloud. It could mean that the company uses a third-party cloud. It doesn't matter. It's data. It's server infrastructure. If you're talking about Microsoft Azure, if you're talking about Google Cloud, if you're talking about AWS, all you are talking about is a data center. That's what I want you to think about. Whenever someone says cloud, just think of a data center, because that's all these cloud services are. They're data centers. Yeah, they're big data centers. They're distributed data centers. But they're data centers nonetheless. Four walls, a ceiling, a floor, a bunch of servers, in racks, cooling systems, internet, and physical security. That's what they are. So when you think of cloud, when I reference cloud in this context, in this episode, I want you to be thinking of cloud equals data center, okay? Cloud equals infrastructure in the data center, okay? All right. The article insinuates that when you are looking to engage an MSP, because again, the author acknowledges that most end users aren't going to have the expertise to do this cloud management themselves. You know, there's many benefits, in other words, to engaging an MSP to manage your cloud. The article says if you're going to do this, there are some things that you may want to entertain when engaging that MSP. And one of the, and they go on and they talk about, you know, yeah, MSPs, you know, extend the attack surface of cybersecurity. True. So does the cloud, by the way, but true. So do governments. we're going to get to that later. There's a lot of ways that an attack surface can be created, extended, magnified, and reduced. But here's the rub. Here's where we start to have real problems with how this article sets out the image, the professional image of the MSP. And I'm gonna issue a quote here, as close to the quote as possible, because I want to be faithful to it. Because this is the quote where I believe the article loses all credibility, because it's an assumption, number one. It's an incorrect assumption, as I will evidence and demonstrate to you shortly. And it's an idea that doesn't further reality in any way. It clouds reality. It is not realistic. And I will explain why. Here's the general concept. MSPs ought to be held to the same high standards as the cloud providers. Right? You got that? You, as an end user, you should hold your MSP accountable. Yes, agreed. 100% agreed. If the author had stopped the sentence with a punctuation, it would have been fine. The statement, and in fact, the whole article would have been really, really well written. But that, and it's not just this one area per se, but it's this one area that stands apart from everything else here that says you should hold your MSP to the same standard, the same high standard that you hold your cloud provider. Now, this is where it's going to get a little dicey, and the button is going to come in handy. Okay, so let's get started. I'm going to walk you through a handful of bullet point arguments of why that idea should be reconsidered. Okay, number one, what attributes of the cloud provider community should the MSPs be mimicking? I ask you. The author here says you should hold your MSP to the same high standards that you hold your cloud providers. Now, I'm not gonna name cloud providers by name here, because we work with a lot of cloud providers, a lot of public cloud providers, in fact. All right, so I'm going to be very, very cautious. So I'm going to be talking about, you know, third parties in the abstract, but you guys know what I'm talking about, because you're smart people. You live in the world. You work in the IT channel. I ask you, what characteristics, what cloud provider characteristics exist in the cloud community that don't really exist in the MSP community? Is it the fairness of the cloud provider contract? I ask you. These dense, verbose, multi-dozen page master service agreements that basically exclude every breach, data security event known to humankind, and absolves the cloud provider of any and all responsibility, that characteristic? Is that what you're wanting the MSP to uphold? Have you read a major public cloud provider's master service agreement terms and conditions lately? They take no responsibility for their actions. And the government agency writing this article ought to know better. You ought to know better, because you probably also use those same cloud providers. And you know that they take no responsibility. They disclaim responsibility. If there's a data breach, if there's a security incident, the cloud provider says, that's not our problem. That's your problem. You lost data? Sorry. Don't look to us to make you whole again. That's on you. Is that the same level of standard and care that you want your MSP to have? Good God, I hope not. I really hope not. I wouldn't want MSPs to behave like that. And I'm not going to throw a brick in a glass house here either, because I acknowledge that MSPs are not perfect. I acknowledge that MSPs make mistakes. And there are bad MSPs out there. I mean, thankfully, very, very few of them. And by the way, we've made it our mission over 23 years. If there's bad behavior, now, I don't mean mistakes right here. I mean bad. When I say bad, I mean bad. Evil, malevolence, ill intent. When that happens in the managed services market, we do what we can to expose it. We have been at the forefront of this for a very, very long time, folks. Make no mistake. Yes, the MSP Alliance is a pro-MSP organization. For 23 years, that is what we have been dedicated to doing. We jealously guard the managed services community worldwide because we believe in what the MSPs do. We believe it's good work. We believe that the MSPs on whole are a good group of individuals and organizations, and the work that they do is indispensable throughout the world. And that also means that when you have bad actors, you got to extract them out. You have to call them out. You have to make sure that they don't represent the rest of the MSP community. And that's very, very dear to our hearts. And the members that we, you know, that we interact with a lot value that. They tell us that. This is good. This is good that the MSP Alliance does this. All right? The MSPs are not perfect, is my point here. But neither are the cloud providers. Name a cloud provider infrastructure that hasn't been subject to some sort of data attack. That we're all getting attacked, but a data security incident or breach. They all have. All the major ones. I'm not going to repeat them, but you can go look them up yourself. So again, just like the MSPs, the cloud providers are not infallible. They make mistakes all the time. They are not impenetrable. They're a data center just like anybody else. I might add, for those curious, intellectually curious, to do a quick search on your favorite search browser, your search engine, and go look at public federal governments who have had data breaches over the last 10 years. They all have. They've had some of the most egregious data breaches, security breaches in the last 10 years. Okay? Nobody's perfect here, right? We're talking about how can we generally become better, but what we, and standards mean something, right? So it's not like we're trying to avoid a standard here, but what we're not trying to say is, oh, the cloud providers are the pinnacle of security. They are the ones that we should all emulate. And the MSPs, well, you know, they wish that they were a cloud provider, but they will never really be one. But if they could, they should aspire to be like the lofty cloud. That's what I say to that statement. I know a lot of MSPs, who have far better security than a lot of cloud vendors. And I know a ton of MSPs. Sorry, that was an inadvertent beep. I know a lot of MSPs who take far greater responsibility in their actions and in their contracts with customers to hold themselves, the MSP, accountable. If they make a mistake, they fix it. I know MSPs who, despite, you know, it being, you know, not always a great idea, who go above and beyond what is spelled out in their contract and actually help their customers, even though the customers are not obligated to receive this level of service. MSPs who will go above and beyond what's written in the agreement to help their customers get back on their feet. Even after the customer said, oh, I don't want to back up my data. Oh, no, I don't want to use multi-factor authentication. Oh, no, I don't want to do all these security things that you were telling me I should do. They get hit, they lose the data, and who do they turn to? It ain't the cloud provider. I'll tell you that. Oh, settle down, settle down. All right, number two. How do MSPs and cloud providers interact? Because this is a really critical thing in this article, right? The statement is somehow that the cloud providers, the article suggests that cloud providers hold this very lofty position of security behavior that everybody else ought to aspire to. And that's simply not true. The MSPs live in the real world, and the MSPs will manage infrastructure in many different cloud environments. In fact, it is more common than not to find an MSP who has a multi-cloud discipline, meaning that they will be in, you know, they'll be in Google, they'll be in AWS, they'll be in IBM SoftLayer, they'll be in a few local data centers. They will work in the environment that their customer brings them into. And it rarely is a homogeneous single cloud environment. And that means that the MSP has to deal with the reality of multi-cloud, non-homogeneous, non-interoperability in many cases, and they have to figure things out and make it work according to what the customer wants. And then on top of that, they have to say, we have to make it secure. It has to function as designed, as desired by the MSP customer, and then it also has to be secure. That's a very tough job. And if you think that a cloud provider is just sitting out there saying, well, I know how to do all of that, and if only the MSPs were to think like us, well, all of you would be safe. Now, maybe that's not what the author intended, but that's how I read it. You should hold your MSP to the same high standards that you'd expect of cloud providers themselves. Cloud providers don't embrace hybrid cloud interoperability. Now, they may say they do, but they don't really. Do you know how difficult it is to make multiple cloud environments coexist and operate? I don't, not technically. But I understand that MSPs do, and they tell me it's challenging. I understand that it's challenging, even as a non-technical person. I get it. But that's the environment that an MSP has to work in. They don't have the luxury of saying, I'm going to lock down, you know, this infrastructure so that it's inaccessible to anybody. All the bad people can't access it, because then it's not functional to the end user. MSPs have to work in the real world. The other insinuation here is you should hold your MSP to the same high standard that you'd expect of cloud providers. Is, well, if you just remove the MSP, well, then that exemplary, ultra secure, high standard of cloud providers would just flow so effortlessly, so easily to the end user that everybody would be safe, right? It's the logical argument, right? Just remove the MSP. Take them out of the equation. The whole article is based off of this idea that the MSP, good things aside, have negatives, and that the way to deal with the negatives is to make the MSP look more like the cloud vendor. Well, then I ask you, remove the MSP. Author of this article, remove the MSP from your equation, and what do you have? What is the result of that equation? Let me tell you. Chaos. Chaos. Data breaches. Security events. Breakdown of most major industries. Am I overselling this too much? I think not. Do you reasonably think that the cloud providers, with their high standards of behavior and security and data privacy, would be able to service the entire globe to this author's expectation? Of course not. It's silly. I am reminded of an early conversation with an MSP business owner, 2002, 2003 timeframe. And at the same time, arguments like this, not exactly like this, but arguments that were critical of the MSP were being floated. And in one particular, by an analyst who had gone on record and said, you know, really, this whole managed service provider thing is a flash in the pan and it's going to go by the wayside because ultimately in a few years, folks, all these MSPs that are out there, there weren't a lot. I mean, there were probably like maybe 1,000 at the time, if that. All these MSPs are really going to boil down through acquisition and mergers and going out of business. And they're just going to really be four or five MSPs standing. And they're all going to be telcos. They're going to be companies like Verizon and AT&T and British Telecom and Vodafone and whatnot. That prediction didn't come true exactly. That analyst group no longer exists. And I asked an MSP executive who was a small business MSP owner, I said, are you concerned about this prediction? This is, again, 2002, 2003. So very early on in the MSP profession. What'd you think of that? And this person laughed. Because I thought this is certainly going to evoke a serious response. They laughed. And they said, Charlie, do you really think that four or five ultra-large telco-based MSPs are going to service the small, mid-size, and even some of the smaller enterprise marketplace? He said, bring it on. And that was, for me, a very stark lesson early on in my career where I learned not just the power of the MSP and what position they held, even early on in the MSP profession, but what I learned even more was that the channel, the dynamics of the global IT channel are that the person closest to the customer wins. I've always said that. You've probably heard me say that. I've written about it. You know, I talk about it a lot because it's true. It's a maxim I hold to be true because I see it repeated over and over and over again in the wild, out there in the wild, in the IT channel wild. There is no way if you remove the MSP from the service delivery supply chain that the remaining cloud providers would be able to service customers. They don't want to. Cloud providers aren't really good at customer service. It's not what they're doing. They're selling a commodity en masse. And if you're not living under a rock, you understand that those same cloud providers need MSPs to reach the vast majority of customers out there. Yeah, cloud providers will reach mega Fortune, you know, Fortune 100 companies directly, and they'll bypass the channel in some cases, not all, but they'll have contacts and inroads to those Fortune 500, you know, organizations, and they'll deal with them and they'll sell direct to them, sure. But for everybody else, they can't reach them, not even close. They don't even know where to begin. It would bankrupt those cloud providers to begin to penetrate the small, mid-sized, and smaller enterprise business community. And one final point, I forgot to mention this when I was talking about cloud provider attributes. We're talking about high standards, cloud provider high standards. You guys remember this guy named Snowden? Remember all the crap that he put out there? Remember what he said about some of the cloud providers, companies that today have clouds? They had pretty much an open door policy of leaking out information to anybody who wanted to ask for it, meaning governments, many, multiple governments. Is that the high standard that you're talking about? Maybe this author actually wants MSPs to have that same open door policy of just, you know, exposing themselves. You know, as long as it's a government asking for it, I'm joking. But seriously, there are some real serious privacy data concerns that have been levied against cloud providers over the years. I'll bring your attention to a lot of litigation in the European Union alone against cloud providers. GDPR, my gosh, GDPR is a massive piece of legislation. I don't particularly agree with it. I've been on the record about that. But GDPR is a direct response to large public cloud vendors and their data privacy failures. Is that the same high standard that you want managed service providers to uphold? Folks, if you're wondering whether I've taken this to an extreme, I'll tell you why I haven't. Because it's really dangerous for this type of assertion to be floated out there, sitting on a government website, leading an uneducated, an ignorant, unaware reader to somehow believe that MSPs are, you know, just a bunch of inept, you know, bumbling organizations that don't know what they're doing, and all they need is to follow their bigger cousins, the cloud providers, and then all in life in the universe would be, you know, at peace and harmony, and everyone would be safe. And that's just not true. And by the way, I am not denigrating cloud providers and their role in things. Yeah, I've been pretty harsh about them, but they do a lot of good, okay? I acknowledge the good that the cloud providers do. I acknowledge the role that they have, but don't make them into something that they're not, okay? They're largely infrastructure. They're largely processing compute power. They're largely availability. But they are not repositories of data and security integrity. They are not that. Nobody is perfect. And I think that the author of this article and anyone who reads it ought to do a little bit more research and expose themselves to the reality of what most MSPs, good, hardworking, well-intended MSPs do all over the world, fighting all, you know, in many cases, arguing with customers to try to get them to improve their security. But to insinuate that the MSP themselves is somehow they're just like sloppy. They're not really taking security seriously. They don't, you know, they don't care as much about security and data privacy as the cloud vendor that they're recommending you use. That It's just not true. It's just not true. And I felt someone had to expose that that argument and provide a little bit of a counterbalance to it. Was I wrong? Maybe. Maybe not.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.